When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Listen, you got through the week like we got through 9/11.
And a recession.
And the Special K diet.
And the time that James Franco hosted the Oscars.
And Ben Platt's wig and Dear Evan Hansen.
TGIF.
Hello, I am Donnie and I am the Cute One.
And I am Chelsea and I am the Cute One.
TGIF cuties. We're here. Ooh,
we're here.
Before I even get into, you know, logistics or housekeeping, sure. I did just laugh and it sounded like that. So I do need to update the cuties.
Like one of Marge Simpson's sisters. Oh, no.
Yeah. Or like the penguin from Toy Story 2 whose squeaker is broken. And I've been sending Chelsea updates all week. She didn't ask for them. Do you hate them or do you like them?
Oh, I hate them. Okay. Yeah, I certainly did not ask for them. And for some additional context, cuties, it's not like he's sending me updates like, hey, still feeling under the weather. Hey, feeling a little better today. No, he's sending voice recordings of him coughing so that I can be kept abreast of just how specifically disgusting the cough is sounding.
Yeah, and that's why it always comes with an apology. Like, I'm so sorry, this is gross. This is the second to last one you'll receive. I'm sorry, this is gross. This is probably the last one you'll receive.
I'm sorry, this is gross. I know I said the last one was the last one, but here's another one.
But I think it grosses you out because you're not a healthcare professional. But we don't know who our listeners are. So, cuties, I'm going to give you one. And can you tell me if I should consult a physician or if this is just a cough that I'll get over? I'm not going to cough for you. I'm just going to do this. That is my throat.
You know what? This really speaks to the state of our current healthcare system in this country that we are taking to a podcast to solicit responses from potential healthcare providers in our audience.
But if you want to see all of this happening and not just hear, we are on YouTube. So as always, there is a link in today's show notes. So head over there. You don't want to miss this.
This week brought us the release of the Tortured Poets Department, Steve Buscemi joining Wednesday, Chappelle Rowan entering the Hot 100, Renee Rapp and Kesha saying fuck P. Diddy, Courtney Love's thoughts on modern artists, a This Is Us rewatch podcast, and Bravo firing everybody.
And everybody.
Somehow we've made it to Friday yet again.
Mm. It was a good week this week.
It was. I felt like Bravo was like, hey, everybody, I know you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So we're just going to give you all of the news and just suck you right back in.
Yeah. And I really wanted to get in Twitter fights because of it, because people are in their opinions about a lot of things happening. So I used hashtags. I responded to people. And I'm just alone on Twitter. Nobody sees me except you.
Well, you know why.
Educate the cuties, because I didn't know this.
Okay, yeah. So Donnie was very upset. He's been at home coughing into voice notes. He's been bored. He's been watching documentaries, which I have follow-up questions about. And so he was looking for that fight on Twitter. And so he was very upset, and he texted me and said, nobody is fighting with me on Twitter. And I told him, I've recently learned if you hit a certain amount of, like, percentage-wise, if you hit a certain threshold of people you have blocked, the algorithm starts to assume that you just, like, don't want to interact with people. So they stop showing your content. Because they're like, oh, well, this person literally is just blocking everybody. They're clearly just posting for themselves and not for anybody. So I think that's what's happened. Donnie, you block people for no rhyme or reason. And I think that Instagram and Twitter have finally just been like, okay, well, this guy, he doesn't play nicely with others. So let's just leave him alone shouting into the void.
How long do you think it will take to fix this? Or do you think I'm fucked for life?
I think you have to do a mass unblocking.
Well, I did. On Twitter, I had more than 1,000 people blocked. And now that I'm...
How many people follow you on Twitter?
Only 400.
When you're getting into the more than 100% realm, I think that probably does impact who's seeing your content.
Okay, so I do have some more unblocking to do then.
Well, you know what you could do? Huh. What if you did a mass unblocking, and on every platform you give everybody a clean slate, you unblock everybody.
Well, there's two I'm going to keep blocked. Three.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Two crazies and one No, Chelsea, here's the thing. Chelsea always gets nervous when I talk about him, but here is the thing. He is publicly hated, so I don't need to keep a bridge unburned. You can go on Twitter and type that name, and it's nothing but mean tweets. So I'm allowed to be one of them.
He won't see it because you have him blocked. Okay. I don't even know. At some point, I'm just going to have to keep this on the main feed. This is like three episodes in a row. You have gone out of your way to drag that man.
Not out of my way.
So you can keep those three blocked. Mm-hmm. But I think that you release everybody from blocked prison and you give them another chance. And then you see how long it takes you to get pissed off again. Because I also think, Donnie, you have a very curated world.
I know.
Which isn't a bad thing. But I think sometimes your opinions are influenced by the fact that you really are just in your own echo chamber that you yourself have created. I would love to see you interact with the rest of the world. You've been living in M. Night Shyamalan's village and it's time to cross the street.
No, but I love being that blind woman because I used to live in the rest of the world, and that's why I started blocking everybody.
Well, you've got some hard decisions to make. Do you want to fight on Twitter or not?
I guess I do. I'll unblock everyone today. That will be today's project. Everyone but three.
We do have things to talk about, but I want to know really quick. The documentaries. Are you okay? Has your brain broken? I'm concerned. This is not the Donnie that I know and hate.
This has been on my to-watch list for a while because Angela Bassett narrates it, so I knew it would be a pleasure to watch, and I was right. And what I'm talking about, cuties, is Queens on Disney Plus. There's six episodes. Each of them's about a different kind of queens, Savannah Queens, Ocean Queens, Bug Queens, whatever, and all narrated by Angela Bassett, which is great. But then also, imagine this, Chelsea. Angela Bassett says, "And when it's time to eat, the lions hunt." And then you see these three lions sashaying in unison, in slow motion, to the beat of "Girls wanna be air, boys wanna be air." It is so good.
I thought it was going to be that new viral TikTok song that's like, funny how the very first sin is a woman who ate.
That might be an episode. That might be Bug Queens. I'm not there yet.
Wow.
And animal lives are so dramatic. It's like the Bible. Episode one, Chelsea, this is a spoiler alert, so I'm sorry, cuties. But in episode one with Serengeti Queens, the one hyena, her sister is queen and she wants to be queen. Uh-huh. So she eats her niece when the queen is away.
Jesus Christ.
I know. And then the queen comes home and is in mourning that her daughter has been eaten by her sister. So then the sister's like, "You're sad. Get out of the pack." And she leaves and goes on her own. And then the sister becomes queen.
I feel like that hyena pack copied the Lion King.
Oh, for sure.
Wow.
There's a lot of similarities to the Lion King.
Well, certainly. They are copying the Lion King. The Lion King couldn't possibly have been derived by things that actually happened.
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Well, look at us living and laughing and
learning.
Who says an old dog can't learn new tricks?
Woof, woof. And I also... Here's even more new tricks. We famously hated reading when we started our little book club during
the writer's strike. Yeah. If we have new cuties, it is worth going back to last summer. It was a bleak time, but arguably some of our most chaotic. Out of pain comes art. When Donnie and I were no longer allowed to cover movies, we read books meant for third graders. And boy, did it hurt our brains.
And not because it was too dumb for us. Because we truly hated spending an hour reading. Mm-hmm. That's why.
But look at us now, because spoiler alert, instead of pop culture headlines this week, we're going to be talking about books.
Hope this is what you signed up for. So, Chelsea, when we found out we were both reading and wanted to do a book club this week, I told you the book I was bringing to the table was Your Lonely Nights Are Over by Adam Sass, which is a young adult book about a serial killer from the 80s who's never been caught. And now someone, whether it's the same serial killer or a copycat, we don't know until the end. Someone seemingly has returned and is killing the LGBTQ club at the high school. So Very fascinating. However, then a book came to me that I had requested from the library for months now, and I dropped Your Lonely Nights Are Over immediately and started reading this, and that book is The Girls, From Gilmore to Golden, about this man who was a writer on, like, Gilmore Girls, Golden Girls, the Brady Bunch movie, Roseanne. Oh. Truly a writer on a lot of things I love and one thing I hate.
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, I did not read the Gilmore Girls chapter, so I won't be talking about that. Skipped right over it.
Okay, so case in point, when we talked earlier about you living in a curated little bubble, you're like, I read this book, but not the one chapter about the thing that I just have no interest in. So I just skipped over that like it doesn't exist.
Correct. Okay. That is probably the part of the book that most cuties would be interested in.
Yeah, I would have loved to hear about it, but fuck me, I guess.
Okay, so first of all, the tagline of the book is stories about all the wonderful women I've worked with and Roseanne. So I knew we were in for a treat. In the Roseanne chapter, he said that she used to make the writers wear shirts with numbers on it so she didn't have to learn their names. And then she would just yell, like, number 13, you're fired. Isn't that kind of great?
I mean,
she also didn't let writers talk to the cast at all, and that is why the original Becky was fired, because she started dating a crew member.
Was she trying to keep them separate so that the cast members couldn't influence the writers for, like, better storylines or different scenes?
And I know a lot of girls that were on sitcoms that have had, like, body image issues, they said it was from the writers, like, not even in episodes, but, like, talking to them on set, saying, like, careful about that donut or whatever. So I don't know if it was for that reason or that reason, but I do think Roseanne did care about some people and, like, wanted to protect some people. I just don't know if it was the actors or the writers.
Hmm.
One more thing she did. This was kind of cool. In the gay kiss episode, when Roseanne is kissed by a woman at a gay bar, ABC did not want to air it. And then Roseanne told them, like, that's fine. I will just buy it myself and then put it on HBO. So the choice is yours. So then they aired it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of badass.
I know. She did do some good stuff. Just a lot of bad stuff, too.
A multifaceted queen.
Also, Betty White, he said on Golden Girls, whenever Sophia had high anxiety, and whenever she would mess up her lines, Betty White would make jokes about her to the audience, like, at her expense.
Oh, no.
I do think Betty White was a bitch, like a secret bitch, like people that listen to us know. Every show has an out bitch and a secret bitch.
Who's the secret bitch of our show?
I don't know. I think that we've both
been
evolved.
Bitchy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's good to know that in our relationship, we're very Betty White forward, and that we will make fun of each other publicly, but behind the scenes, secretly, that's it. We're not secret bitches. We're secret sweeties. Because behind the scenes, like, we will send each other, like, the most heartfelt, sweet messages that I would never allow the cuties to see.
Never.
Never.
Not even behind a paywall.
No, 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 no.
Anyway, this book is very good. I think everyone should read it. He also talks about behind the scenes of the Brady Bunch movies. And he talks about when he was pitching a movie deal to Lindsay Lohan. The studio wanted him to, like, milk her up. So she signed off on it. And then when she signed off on it, they could sell it elsewhere, whatever. So the studio threw a party so the writers could bond with Lindsay Lohan, but Lindsay Lohan never showed. And then one of the producers, they didn't say what, but I'm going to say fucked. She fucked Michael Lohan. So then Dina said, Lindsay is not doing this movie. Absolutely not.
Oh my so God.
Stories like that are really
Lindsay
fun.
Lohan's daddy.
But that's not really anything for us to comment on. So cuties, read the book. I do love it. But now I do want to get into the Court of Thorns and what's it called?
The Court of Thorns and Roses.
Hoo-wee. Yeah. Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking, or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr., as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it. I will be spoiling this book. So if you have not read it, if you plan on reading it, skip to the end, still give us the rest of this download, but then come back at a later date because This fairy porn series, I am all in. Okay, before we get started, I do have some prop work. So one moment, please.
Okay. Oh, if you're listening, turn this off right now and go to the YouTube so you can see me kill myself. She's putting on elf ears. Fucking elf ears. They look like Fritos. You know those ones you can wear as nails? They are hideous. But also, it kind of suits her.
I can read lips, you asshole. I read one fairy porn book, and then I went, and I accidentally went to a Renaissance Festival.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I just assumed you had them.
Now, that being said, I can't hear you, so I'm going to take these off now.
Please.
I wanted to give, like, how we do on the main feed, a one-minute synopsis, the back of the book.
Oh.
However, anything that I could have said about this book was summed up much better on this Goodreads review by Allie Learns to Read on Instagram. So I'm just going to read their review. Perfect. An illiterate 19-year-old straight up kills a guy and is outraged when there are consequences. Her punishment is living in a mansion with a hot mayor and hanging out with his friend, the nicest guy in the world, and the only character I care about in the series. This is a tragic turn of events for Feyre, as it separates her from her life as an indentured servant to her shitty family. Who's going to take care of her deadbeat dad, her personality-proof younger sister, and Nesta, Satan's apprentice? One day, a generically handsome man appears and all of Book Talk developed a bat fetish overnight. Some stuff happens as Feyre ends up in the Triwizard Tournament, where she has to outsmart a worm. Feyre struggles but eventually triumphs due to severe interference from outside sources. This goes on for 5 books. The fan base for the series is the size of a largish army, and if you say something negative about Cassian, who I haven't met yet, they will hunt you down and ruin your life. And honestly, good for them.
Oh.
I'm trying to get back into reading, and by reading I mean listening to audiobooks. I had read The Interview with the Vampire, and I couldn't deal with whiny-ass Louis the Vampire's musings about immortality any longer, which, joke's on me, because the end of this book also ends with whiny musings about immortality. So I jumped in. And number one, we have Feyre, who is our Bella Swan, our Teddy Mellencamp, our quirky, I'm not like the other girls human, a gal who has no business being the main character. The book starts out very Winter's Bone, where like everybody's starving and poor and she's hunting in the woods.
I hate that movie.
The book was really good.
Yeah,
it was based on a book, and I was so mad when they changed the younger siblings in the movies to a brother-sister set, because in the book it's all about like her two brothers. One is named after the family and like what that means to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. It was very deep. I liked Winter's Bone. This book tricked me because it starts out that way. And then it's like, oopsie kitty, she accidentally kills a fairy, which then causes Tamlin, the High Lord of the Spring Court, to come and take her as a prisoner. And this is the point where it goes full Beauty and the Beast, except instead of Tale as Old as Time, it's like undertones of like, oh, they're gonna fuck.
Oh. Now, how does one fuck a fairy?
Well, funny you should ask. They just get it on normal style, but with like a lot more biting. A lot more biting of the nipples, the neck. There's a lot of teeth play.
But does it like fly to like
They're normal size. They're not Thumbelina. This is High Fae. So he has all the powers. He can transform into a wolf, but he also has like a handsome human figure too.
Where are the wings?
Not everybody has wings.
Oh god.
Yeah, so only some of them have wings, but here's another twist. It's very Cinderella story, like very Hilary Duff coded, because there's been a curse, a blight has come to the land. At a masquerade ball, all of the Spring Court members, they had their masquerade masks stuck to their face. So this whole book, Feyre's like, ugh, what will he look like under this mask? Is he as hot as I think he is? And spoiler alert, he is. He's hot as shit.
But it's the guy that's keeping her prisoner?
They're falling in love with each other. Feyre has gone from like a traumatized poor person to now she's like living in luxury and she gets to paint, because there's something about this bitch. I like this book, but this author is so repetitive, and everything that we learn about is through the lens of Feyre wanting to paint it. So she'll see a sunset and she's like, ooh, look at those colors. Wish I could paint it. She'll see a blue fairy with his wings ripped off, dying in front of her, and she's like, oh, a haunting scene. I wish I could paint it. So she finally gets her fucking paint. I mean, like, give this girl a Michael sponsorship, and she's all happy. She learns about fairy culture. They have this like fairy Burning Man celebration every spring where they're all like dancing to drums, and Tamlin as the High Lord drinks this potion that like makes him like feral, and he chooses a mate and he fucks him like a rabid animal. And this is also the ceremony where Feyre meets Rhys, who is the High Lord of the Night Court, who is our Jess from Gilmore Girls.
Now I really don't follow.
I know. Rhys is our bad boy. We're told he's kind of evil. I feel like you would love Tamlin. I feel like you would want to fuck Tamlin. And this is my reasons. Number one, I want to fuck Rhys. So we already know we're not going to agree on that. Number two, Tamlin is more reminiscent of like, well, we don't know what his face looks like till the end, but he is blonde.
Lost me
And
already.
Then his body is more like Abercrombie model adjacent. He also has like a major anger problem. So he of the two, I think, would be the one to call you the F slur.
Okay. Here's another thing. Blonde hair is also a feminine trait. Only women should have freckles and blonde hair.
Well, Tom Hamlin, I hope you're not listening.
I love a blonde haired woman. A blonde haired woman will always be top of my hot list. However, a blonde haired man, just ain't.
Well, maybe Rhys would be in the center of our Venn diagram.
So tell me what he looks like.
Well, in this book, he's pale with black hair and violet eyes, but that's because he's been trapped under a mountain for 50
years. What color is violet?
Like
purple.
A deep purple, yeah.
Ew. Purple eyes.
He's a fairy. Now, he has wings.
Oh, he does.
He has wings.
Okay, yeah. I'll allow it. Wait, in the sequel, he gets a tan?
Yeah, because he's been, in this book, he's pale because he's been trapped under a mountain as a sex slave for Amarantha, who I kept calling Amaretta Sour in my Instagram recap because I could not for the life of me. It's so many syllables.
My favorite drink.
But that's the thing, is it turns out Amarantha is the blight. She's the one who's bringing the curse to the land. She's the one who made the masquerade masks stay on the face. And she's been keeping all these people prisoner under the mountain. And she takes Tamlin because, and this is where it got very Beauty and the Beast, she had put a curse on him that he had to fall in love with a human who had killed a fairy, comes back, falls in love with him, and says that she loves him. But they didn't meet the deadline, so he got captured by Amarantha, a.k.a. Amrita Sour.
Okay.
Uh-huh. This sounds like a fever dream when I say it out loud. Yeah. This is what I've been spending all of my time reading.
And now I can see why it's so goddamn long.
We haven't even gotten to the Triwizard Tournament part yet.
Please, get there.
So, Feyre's like, well, even though I'm just a human and I know how to paint now, still don't know how to read. That's an important fact for later.
Why doesn't she? Winterspone.
She's poor, yeah.
Yeah, if you can't wear shoes, you probably can't read. That's just a law. You know where that law's hanging? On the wrong side of the tracks.
Okay. So, Feyre goes to save the day against these big baddies.
Wait, does she wear shoes?
Yes, you... You were the one who said she didn't wear shoes.
Well, that's how I picture her.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, so Feyre, famously shoeless, goes underneath the mountain to save Tamlin and save all of Fairyland. And so Amarantha has the same energy of Tyra Banks from America's Next Top Model. Like, she is just one makeover away from giving Feyre a shaved head and telling her that she doesn't have what it takes to be a model. She's going to shave down a gap in the middle of her teeth or something.
How do you shave down a gap?
Tyra Banks, in one makeover scene, first of all, let's not forget poor Molly, who had a weave that looked like ramen noodles placed in her hair. Let's not forget the man who had the beard weave put on his face during the co-ed season. But then Tyra Banks made one girl get her teeth shaved down in the middle to give her a gap on a makeover challenge. Yeah. So this is the energy that Amrita Sour is bringing to the ring. So she lays it out for Feyre. She's like, I'm going to give you three challenges. One is she battles a worm with teeth. One is she has to read at a first grade reading level, which we know she can't do. And the third one is that she has to kill these three fairies. Or she has to solve this riddle.
Okay.
So Feyre does, in the end, solve the riddle, but only before accidentally killing two innocent fairies. Do you like riddles?
Sometimes.
I don't like them. They make me feel stupid, because whenever you hear the answer, you're like, oh, of course. But I can never get it until the answer is presented to me.
My brain doesn't work like most humans. Usually, I get the answer right away.
Okay, well, I brought three riddles.
Oh, wow.
Are you ready?
Okay, uh-huh.
The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I?
Memories.
That's a really good guess, but no. Alas, I would murder you if I was Amrita Sour. Footsteps.
Ah!
See, I hate that feeling. It's so obvious once you read it.
Like Jesus.
I know, and that's when I carried you, my child. A cowboy rode into town on Friday. He stayed three nights and then rode out on Friday.
The horse's name is Friday.
Ah! Yes! Wow. Okay, last one. What time is it when an elephant sits on a fence?
Time to get a new fence?
Yes! Is that right? Wow, two out of three. Ooh, that's pretty good, Donnie.
Thank you.
You would be faring well under that mountain.
Are these the ones from the book?
No.
I almost jumped out this window.
No, the riddle was so dumb, and the answer was love. Because of course it was, because it is a fairy tale. A fairy tale about fairies, get it? So, Feyre does end up defeating Amrita Sour. However, Amrita Sour is, again, Tyra Banks adjacent, and she's like, I'm going to kill you anyway. She snaps her neck. Feyre dies. But she has this bond with Rhys, and so she jumps into Rhys's consciousness. While the other seven High Lords use their powers to resurrect her and bring her back as a High Fae. So now, this book ends with Feyre being an immortal High Fae fairy.
Mm.
And we've talked about immortality before. I don't want it. I would be so pissed if I also just killed two people and now have to live with the guilt until the end of time. But like, if I don't specifically ask for immortality, please don't give it to me.
No, disagree.
You want it?
I think I would like it. Because even immortality, you can still die.
Donnie.
What?
Immortality, immortal, means you cannot die.
Tell that to a vampire. Stake it in the heart. Dead.
Okay.
There's always one way to die. So if you hate it enough, I'm not saying do it to yourself, but maybe hang out with Emerita Sauer.
Okay.
She'll take care of it.
I guess. I just would be so pissed. Like, that's a burden to put on somebody without permission. Is. Like, Bella Swan was begging for it. Bella Swan was like, Edward, bite my neck, take my blood, fuck me silly, make me a vampire. But Feyre, at no point, when she's talking about paint, brings up, like, I'd love to be a fairy.
And a fairy is not as cool as a vampire anyway.
I don't know, Donnie. You haven't read these books. One of them has the power to transform. One of them has a power of like ice and wind. One of them has a power to get into your brain and crush you from inside.
The powers are cool, but can you go to high school for the rest of your life? I don't think so. That's what they can do in Twilight.
That's what you would want to do with immortality, is go to high school for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
You are a sick fuck, Donnie.
Imagine this. Girls wanna be air, boys wanna be air. As I go slow motion through the high school before I suck your blood.
What you've just said sounded like a riddle that I'll never be able to solve.
I would rule the school. That's like Rizzo in Grease.
I got the reference, yeah. And much like Rizzo ruling the school, you also would be a 40-year-old strutting those streets.
Amanda, our friend, told me that if my cough is not going away, I should try eating honey by the spoonful. So I bought a thing of honey and I'm halfway finished. I don't think it's working, Amanda.
Is honey dairy-free?
Chelsea. Where would a cow come into play when making honey?
No, well, it doesn't have to be cows. Animals what else is dairy? Produce milk.
No, no. Okay,
you see,
I
like, see. Goat milk is still dairy.
Correct. Now, where does goat milk come into?
Trying to be a concerned friend because I know that you're really on your dairy-free journey.
Yes.
I spoke before I was able to reflect on the fact that bees probably don't have nipples and they probably don't breastfeed their young.
Do fairies have nipples?
I don't know if they've been explicitly said.
Okay.
Huh. But Tamlin, when he gets angry, his claws like come out like Wolverine, like he can't really control it. And before they did have sex for the first time, I thought that's how his boner was going to come out. I thought it was going to be full Red Rocket, like he couldn't control it. Like Feyre makes him horny and all of a sudden like the table moves. Yeah.
Wow. He's
like his giant fairy ding-dongs ready to fuck.
Well, that's where this Night King's going to come into play.
I certainly hope so.
There's four more books, Chelsea. And they couldn't have stolen from Twilight this much. They're giving the Dark One a makeover in book two. That is clearly Jacob coded. And guess what? She's going to fuck him on a mountaintop, just like book three of Twilight.
Ooh. All right. You heard it here first.
Yeah. I know nothing about these books. So if it happens, that's not a spoiler. Don't block me. It's just my riddle mind. I know the way the world works. So now it's time for Cutie of the Week.
Okay. So I have a news story. Since we didn't cover news this week, I did sneak one in at the end. My cutie of the week is the woman who tried to get a loan by wheeling her dead uncle into a bank. Have you seen this?
No.
Now, don't get me wrong. I do need to be very clear. This woman does, to quote Brittany Cartwright, need to rot in hell. But I do admire her ability to commit to a bit. So they said, in a mind-boggling scene straight out of A Weekend at Bernie's, a Brazilian woman reportedly wheeled in the corpse of an elderly man Tuesday to try to get him to co-sign on a loan. She was captured on video, standing next to the deceased, seated in a chair, seemingly holding up his drooping head. And she kept calling him uncle. She tried to get him to sign financial documents that would allow her to take out a $3,400 loan. And at one point, she tried to pretend to get him to sign the loan. She said, "Uncle, are you listening? You need to sign the loan contract. If you don't sign, there's no way because I can't sign for you." She then thrust a pen between his limp fingers and instructed him to hold it hard. So, of course, the bank called the police. They got there. They were like, "Hey, this man's dead." So she is being charged with a bunch of crimes. But I do admire the chutzpah. That's a riddle mind right there. She saw a problem and she came up with a solution.
That's true. Now, a few questions. Number one, $3,400? $3,400.
I know. That's where it gets bleak.
That's Winter's bone.
She needed some shoes.
Second, did she kill him?
There is an investigation because when they did the autopsy, he had been dead for several hours before she brought him into the bank. But here's my thing. Here's my riddle brain. I don't feel like she would have killed him to do this.
No.
Like maybe she was planning on using him, taking his money, whatever. Yeah. But then he died and she was like, "Well, I got to do it before he starts stinking." Like that one documentary that I know you haven't watched where the woman turned blue because she was drinking all that silver. She was that cult leader. And yeah. Then they kept her body for like 6 weeks wrapped in Christmas lights.
Wow. If she didn't kill him, I don't think she did anything wrong.
Well, I think stealing from someone, extorting money from
Who'd she steal from? An estate.
From him.
How? He's dead.
Well, okay. So tell that to his family in the will.
Isn't she the niece?
Well, that's the other thing. They don't know for sure.
Okay. Well, then that will change a few things.
We need a documentary about this, narrated by Angela Bassett.
And where this woman comes in slow motion into the bank.
Girls want a beer. And then it pans down like...
Yeah, I would watch that. Okay, my cutie of the week. So Nicole Scherzinger, as background information, Nicole Scherzinger of Pussycat Dolls fame is coming to Broadway in Sunset Boulevard.
Are you Nicole Scherzinger's number one fan, do you think?
Well, no, I'm actually not, and I'm about to tell you why. So she's coming to Broadway in Sunset Boulevard. She's been in it in London for about a year now. And it's transferring. However, the Olivier Awards, which are like their equivalent of the Tony Awards, just aired last week. And she won Best Actress in a Musical.
Wow.
I know. Way to go, Nicole. When I was about, I don't know how old, probably 20, I used to choreograph dances to the Pussycat Dolls for my, like, 6-year-old sister and cousin.
Huh.
And on that note, thanks, everybody. We've done it again. So if you are only listening, feel free to go to our YouTube. The link's in the show notes. And Monday, we will be covering Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Why?
I just want to say, I wasn't going to plug the Patreon this week because Donnie was hacking up along the whole time, but we have been recording for an hour. So I have my work cut out for me on the editing front, but if you don't mind a wet cough, go over to patreon.com/I'm the cute one because the whole episode will be over there. God knows what I'm going to keep or what I'm going to cut because this was chaos.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, it takes two to tango.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.
Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donnie Wood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.